I started out doing this. I just wanted to make something when I first started out in ceramics that was just beautiful. And I know that's kind of heretical to just want, you know, something that's beautiful and not necessarily something that's conceptually deep
rigorous.
Or strong or rigorous. So I just looked around for the things that I found the most beautiful in a particular way, and what I felt was a really powerful beauty. And I found those in originally in things called diatoms, which are single-celled, you know, they're microscopic creatures. Phytoplankton is the best known of the diatom. But they make these skeletons out of silica that are just incredibly beautiful and have these very unique natural structures and patterns. And so I just tried to figure out why I thought those were so beautiful and how they were so beautiful, how to work them into what I was making. And it all kind of went from there.
Wait, now, how are they beautiful?
Well, that's a very good question. I think they have there's a type of aesthetic that I call algorithmic aesthetic, and that has to do with how an organism is constructed or how a pattern is constructed from certain components that go in a semi-logical order, in some sort of a logical order. Do you know the term algorithm?
Well, what do you mean by it here?
Okay, well, it's a term from computer science, I think, originally, and it just means it's a set of instructions. And like computer programs run on algorithms. But you could also say that your DNA is an algorithm that builds you. So it has a set of instructions. They're quite complex, but there's a set of instructions there that say, you know, build a cell first and then do that and change this in the cell, and eventually you get to something that's much more complex.
So you're saying that some of these really eye-pleasing creatures had sort of visual design algorithms that really worked.
Yes. So they worked for them. So obviously a diatom is not trying to be beautiful. They may be. That's a very interesting question. But for some reason, I and other people do find them beautiful. So I have many, many pet theories about why we find them beautiful. By the way, are you trypophobic? Do you know, have you heard of that term?
No.
So there's a type of phobia which many people have. They've come out of the woodwork since I started doing this. But so there's this particular patterns of holes is what really sets them off. It gives them a slightly nauseous feeling. So one of my pet theories is that the same mechanism that is making people feel slightly nauseous is the thing that gives these visual forms power to me. There's some deep, deep evolutionary connection to particular patterns, for whatever reason, I can't say what, but that just resonate with us on a, you know, somewhere down in our deepest brainstem. And I think that's why I find these aspects of radial symmetry, of repetition, with variation of scalar changes of units. So you start with a unit over a small area and it changes on different levels of the organism. And tessellation, which is a type of pattern that covers a surface seamlessly, often an irregular surface, or that's the part that interests me the most.
How do you do tessellation?
Usually I use a grid, so...
Wait, now, why did you decide to do this, look, in ceramics?
That was just happen chance. I was looking for, a hobby, an activity that could get me out of the house for extended periods of time, because my neighbor was building a new house. It was really noisy, and I was working at home at that point, and it was driving me crazy, so... So I just started this as a hobby with the Play and Clay program at Windward Community College, and it just kind of took off from there.
When was that?
That was at the end of 2012, roughly 5 years.
What were you doing before?
Well, I was a graphic designer.
You're a graphic designer, so online-ish things.
I started out in the print world. I've been doing it for a long time. So I started out in the print world and then transitioned over to
digital
and computers and computer interface design and conceptual design and software stuff.
Well, you could have easily Photoshopped this kind of complicated, you know, tessellations of designs two-dimensionally, right, with a click.
Yes, but I was, I was pretty tired of computers, so I wanted to do something that involved, you know, mud and my hands and...
Endless hours,
yeah. I mean, I find it, I mean, to me, this is a meditative, reverential process. And so I just, you know, there's nothing I adore more than sitting under the... So my studio is under the house. And so it's, I'm basically outside. And it's a beautiful, beautiful backyard. There's a stream that runs through it. And there are ducks and birds. And so I don't listen to any music. I can get lost easily for 8 hours just putting the patterns into something. It's just, I find it really, really pleasing. Maybe it's therapeutic.
Awesome.
You had asked about the grid, and it all starts generally with a grid. So for this piece, even though it looks like it's mostly on the diagonal, I start with a vertical and horizontal grid that I just... I like to work freehand, even though they look precise. I like things to have those little imperfections. So that, to me, that's part of the what makes natural organisms so beautiful, is they have this perfect ideal, this internal logic that they're trying to fulfill when they're growing. But, you know, the process of growing is filled with all sorts of complexities and interactions. So they wobble a bit, and they don't always follow the grid. And so I try and freehand things as much as possible. And I try and get things kind of as close to perfect as I can. And that usually turns out to be just the right amount of imperfect. Like, for example, like, I don't use, people often ask me if I use a potter's wheel to make forms, because a lot of the forms I make look like they came off of a potter's wheel. They have a radial symmetry, and I found that that's just too symmetrical. They look too perfect. So back to the grid, so I draw out a vertical, usually in a horizontal grid, and that gives me the starting points, and that's just, I do that lightly in clay. That's before any patterns go on. And then it's usually a matter of just connecting the points where they cross for a pattern like this. But it's the magic of the grid, and that's how I can get it to conform to a really irregular shape.
Is by freehanding it,
yep. Probably an organism would have no trouble doing it, but yeah, for me it's a little bit of work. When I'm working, often I will take visual sources from completely different disciplines, and they're usually things that share the same aesthetic, this algorithmic aesthetic that I was talking about. So I find, for instance, things that like Islamic architecture and Islamic patterning to share a lot with the natural patterns that I find in forms like diatoms. For instance, these pieces over here, I was looking at these things called mud mosques. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're mosques built out of mud. They're from Africa, generally in Mali and Burkina Faso. The most famous one is in Timbuktu, but the ones I like are the smaller ones. But they have this, they're made out of mud, obviously, and they have a very particular sort of soft, pointy aesthetic that, to me, reminds me of bones coming up out of the desert. Mm. But they also are very organic, and I think that's maybe because of the, you know, just the nature of the material they're working with. They can't get the same kind of angles that Western architecture gets in when you're just building something out of mud. That and, of course, sea creatures are always mixed into the visual blender, I would call it.
This is kind of different, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, both of these are heading in a different direction, which I'm kind of liking.
Oh, yeah? What direction is that?
Well, it's getting away from things that are vessel forms, I would say, and towards things that are have more of a narrative sense. Mm. More personality.
Mm.
More interaction between the elements. I'm not sure. I was reading this book called On Growth and Form. It's written by this man, Darcy Thompson, back in the between the world wars, and it's full of math. It's beyond what I can comprehend, but it's a really amazing book. It basically tries to lay out the sort of the mathematical parameters of how everything in the world grows. So there's a reason why a shape takes a particular shape. It's because of the forces acting upon it. And so that's what inspired this one, is this concept of tropism. I don't know if you know that term, but it's the classic example is a plant that leans towards the sunlight or leans away from the wind. So it's an external force acting on a living organism that makes changes in its physical structure. And so for these ones, they're slightly politically motivated, because I've been, like many people, feeling a little tender about the current political climate. And I was wondering if that is acting as a trophic force on us as a population, and we're either getting more defensive or more aggressive because of the political climate. Yeah. I make all of my own tools because that way you don't make things that look like they are made with the same tool every time you make them, and you don't recognize the tool shape as well. And so they're very particular shapes that I want to get with the tools. Generally, though, they are sharpened sticks of various types. So with either a circular profile or a square profile or a triangular profile. And the magic of the sharpened stick is, depending on how far you press it into the clay, it makes a slightly different hole. And that allows me to get this sort of infinity of variation. You know, earlier I talked about repetition with variation as one of the aspects of this aesthetic. And that is what allows me to get that.
The simplest of tools.
The simplest of tools. But the other tool is patience. Or even, it's partly, patience is the easiest part. It's the sustained concentration that can be hard. So some pieces... I will be piercing them, but I have no access to the back of them. So if I mess up, then there's no way to fix it. And so like this piece that we're looking at now is an example of that. if any of these had broken, then I'd have to throw away the piece. So I need to stay really concentrated when I'm doing that part of the process in order to, you can't let the mind wander. So, and that, I believe that's therapeutic.